Hey.
Hi.
I'm Jazza.
I'm Jimmy.
This is the...
Right.
Dis.
On.
Or.
Apple.
Hey, podcast. This is the Right Dishonorable podcast. And I'm still kind of waking up from a nap, because I'm old.
He is old.
You hit 26, and then you just want to nap all Saturday afternoon.
I mean, the unemployment probably doesn't help.
Oh, leave me alone. You're such a bully. Jesus. We talk about politics and social issues and current events.
Oh,
you ruined it.
Wow.
Start again. on this wonderful weekly podcast, and we invite you to join in with the conversation with us on Twitter and on the interwebs.
Indeed.
So what are we going to talk about this week, Jimmy?
Today we are talking about the shooting that happened at that broadcasting station.
WDBJ7.
DBJ7.
Yeah.
A former staff member of the broadcaster went and shot two of the journalists, and the woman they were interviewing, the two journalists died. The woman is still in the hospital.
Yeah.
But obviously...
This is basically yet another reason for America not to have strict gun laws, right?
Well, that was my
Because if the journalists had been carrying guns, they'd have been fine.
Yes, so we're doing another fun episode on shooting in
yep,
America.
Yep. It's gonna be joyful.
Well, one of the 270 we plan on doing during this, the course of this podcast. So this is just number two.
Yeah.
And then
buckle up, guys.
And then we are going to be covering the banning of rapper Tyler the Creator from the United Kingdom. Theresa May came out during this week and said that he's not allowed to come here until at least 2018.
Was there a time limit on it?
It's 3 to 5 years.
Fantastic.
So it's kind of ambiguous. He had a tour planned in the UK, and he was apparently here 2 months ago, but they just said, nah, we don't really...
Yeah, and this is based around the fact that he uses the word faggot quite a lot in his music.
Quite a lot.
It occasionally incites violence, specifically on homosexuals.
That's...
So we'll be discussing whether or not he has a right to call people like me a faggot. I assume sometimes people like you, Jimmy...
Well, yeah, I think he was fairly liberal with his use of the word faggot.
Yeah, he doesn't discriminate with who he uses the word on.
Well, yeah, we'll be discussing that. And the thing that's probably made the biggest headlines this week in the UK is actually the House of Lords appointees.
Yeah.
And sterling
choices that Mr. Cameron decided to make in terms of who he was going to put in there.
Well, the main one was Douglas Hogg,
yeah.
who's now known as Lord Mote
in
the
saw
press.
That today. I love that.
Because he, during the expenses scandal, it was revealed that he charged the taxpayer £2,200 to clean his moat.
Yeah.
I mean, we all have that problem, but usually we go for like cheaper service than £2,200.
No, exactly. I tend to import slaves to clean my moat.
Indeed.
Yes. Yeah, like I'm more of a traditionalist in that sense. So those are the things that we're going to be talking about. Why don't you join the discussion on Twitter at Dishonor, or you can go to our website
at Right Dishonor.
That's what I said.
You said at Dishonor.
Did I?
Yes.
At Right Dishonor.
And rightdishonorable.com.
Yeah, that thing.
And soundcloud.com/rightdishonorable.
And that thing.
And on iTunes.
Yeah, right, can we get God.
So we're re-recording this segment because Jazza forgot to press play when...
So I really hate it when people talk about, oh, I just recorded a whole vlog and I forgot to press play. I don't care because I'm never going to see that. So shall we just gloss over the fact that I forgot to press record?
I just want to emphasise to our viewers that technical glitches are not my fault. They are.
All the time?
Not all the time. The one with the whole left ear thing was definitely my fault. Although I blame, faulty machinery, that's...
Paul Workman blames his tools. So, WDBJ7, which is a local television station in the USA, became a huge story this week as two of their journalists, Adam Ward, who is a cameraman, and Alison Parker, who was an anchor and reporter, were shot live on air by a former colleague called Vesta Flanagan. Vesta Flanagan then subsequently posted tweets about his motives on Twitter. He said very clearly that he was like resentful because he got fired from his job.
He actually uploaded a 28-page rant to the internet as well, which you can probably still find floating around somewhere.
Excellent. And he also uploaded a first-person shooter-style video of him committing the crime
from his smartphone.
From his smartphone. Onto Facebook and Twitter.
And then the images from that video were then used as the front pages of quite a lot of newspapers in the UK.
Yeah.
The Sun being the most egregious example, because the muzzle flash was actually going off in the frame, in the still that they took to use on the front cover. To what extent is this just another story of a shooting in the US?
Yeah, it is just another shooting in the US, and I'm quite bored of covering them, to be completely honest.
So why are we covering this then?
So this one's particularly interesting because of the way that the shooting happened in tandem with social media quite deliberately. So the police have said, quite equivocally, that's a word, right? Equivocally?
Equivocally, yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Have said quite equivocally that this was a premeditated crime.
You mean unequivocally.
Unequivocally. I can't speak English. So this was a premeditated crime.
Well, he did upload that rant that said this is a premeditated crime.
No, so. but there's also, like, did he... It would have been possible for him to post that as an afterthought. They have found other evidence that he was planning to do this for a while. And he made the active decision to video it, to commit the crime live on air.
And actually, if you watch the video, he goes up behind the cameraman and he actually waits for the camera to turn back towards Parker before he actually shoots her. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was obviously very deliberately set up, as a lot of these crimes are, to attract maximum publicity.
So you said go watch the video. So I feel very funny
about
asking...
I asked, had you watched the video? You know, we're about to do a segment on this. It's kind of relevant.
It completely is. But you wrote an article about this, and you decided to include a link to the video in your piece.
Not merely a link, I actually embedded the video.
Embedded the video. I personally, had I written the article, and actually had I written any articles in the past month or so, I would have chosen not to embed that video.
See, I actually...
Why did you feel okay with embedding it?
See, because I thought you wouldn't want to do it, because we've actually talked about the way media reports crimes like this and the way it can encourage copycats. But the reason I did it was because the article I wrote wasn't about the shooting in and of itself. It was about this controversy around autoplay in people's Twitter and Facebook feeds.
Yeah.
So the smartphone video was reposted via Twitter and Facebook after the originals were taken down. And it was popping up in people's feeds and it was playing automatically as
you scroll through.
Yeah, as all videos do. It wasn't something specific to this video. And it meant that people saw the video without actually...
opting in.
Yeah, without making a deliberate conscious decision to actually view it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was writing the article about that, and I thought, which I think is still fair, had I been just reporting the shooting, I might not have put the video in.
Really? That's interesting.
But because the article was deliberately about this autoplay thing, the controversy, I mm-hmm. thought it's just really patronising and kind of absurd to write an article about it and then not at least link to it. I suppose I could have linked to it without actually embedding it, but the mm-hmm. difference is kind of minimal. Although maybe more people actually watch the video when you embed it compared to when you link to it. I don't know.
I think so, yeah.
I think that probably is true. So maybe I should have linked to it, but I just decided...
It's okay. You know. You don't have to feel guilty, Jimmy.
I mean,
the amount of traffic we get. I don't think that we sent an awful lot of people to the video.
It is my fucking website. Because Jazz doesn't write anything for it. So if he wrote more stuff for it, maybe you get a say over where we put the fucking videos on.
Ooh, catty. It was a very interesting thing in terms of the autoplay, because it's really kind of thrown up Because autoplay is a really, really recent thing. Until like a couple of months ago, or a handful of months ago, you had to opt into content in order to watch it, unless it was a pre-roll.
Although actually, images for ages, you do, obviously you don't really opt into images as such. They just sort of appear. Like if someone posts a meme or something.
Yeah, but I think that an image is very different to a recording of a shooting. Pulling a trigger there being gunshots and for people screaming and technically you showing the murder of somebody. I think that that's very different
but
to
a still
image.
If you've been
image.
Posting a still of the moment that Parker was shot, which is actually pretty much what The Sun and other newspapers did,
yeah.
That's kind of the same, isn't it?
Yeah, I also don't think that The Sun was particularly honourable in the way that it reported the story.
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time.
No, it wouldn't be. I actually went on... I engaged with Piers Morgan, which I encourage everybody to do on regular basis. And he said... because he's had a very anti-gun... and pro gun control stance when he had a CNN show.
I mean, that's part of the reason his show collapsed, right?
Maybe. I don't know. He's also a bit of a twat, so that probably had something to do with it as well. But he tweeted the image that ended up being the front page of a lot of the tabloids in the UK, saying, "This is absolutely appalling. America needs to stop this." And then I said, "Oh yeah, it's also incredibly appalling that you're deciding to share the moment that somebody died, you twatter."
So what's the
and then
the
I
difference...
got several retweets. It was wonderful.
What's the difference between describing what is in a video or describing what's in an image and actually showing said image?
So Rachel Maddow, who is my lesbian crush.
You know, if you're gonna keep quoting Rachel Maddow, I'm gonna find someone to like, you know, just quote.
Can we
quote
have like a Rachel Maddow like ticker? Like Rachel Maddow quote, ding ding ding
ding ding.
She said during her she's an anchor on her own show on MSNBC, and I love her. And she basically
should we quote some John Oliver later as well?
Yeah, we'll do that later. Just for some balance. And she said in her reporting of this story, there is no need to broadcast murder, especially when the purpose of the murder. By the murderer was for it to be broadcast. And I think that I quite enjoy, and that's why I wouldn't have embedded the video in an article that I would have hypothetically written, because I feel like choosing not to show that image is sticking two fingers up at the gunman, and making sure that there's less of a chance of like copycat.
I feel the copycat argument is slightly different from the, you know, the whole agenda argument, although they're obviously related. There's quite a lot of research that suggests that when these images are when even these events are reported in explicit detail by the media, it encourages future murderers.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, a lot of people who go out and commit mass shootings actually reference previous ones in their manifestos or whatever. So I think that it's pretty indisputable that there's a link and there's also data on it. And usually in the wake of an event like this, there's spikes in terms of copycat crimes.
Yeah.
There's some research that suggests that this isn't the case, but the balance appears to be on the case that it is. I know you shouldn't necessarily trust intuition on something like this, but intuitively that kind of makes sense as well.
Yeah.
But one of the problems about this whole social media thing is in the past there were the press used to report on suicides in a very similar way, and I'm sure in some countries that is still the case. But actually, a couple of years ago, a research body released some guidelines and sort of approached the press and said, can you actually report on suicides in a more sensitive way so as to minimise the danger of people copying?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't
it there was a series of murders in Wales that were happening? The Welsh Valley.
The suicides in Wales.
Yeah.
And it was portrayed as kind of an epidemic, and the media were criticised for that, because one of the things you shouldn't do is speculate on the reasons for the suicide. Suicide is obviously very complicated and very personal to that, you know, the person who does it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is you shouldn't go into details about the method that they use to kill themselves.
Yeah.
But that would be impossible now, wouldn't it, with mass shootings, because people can just share things on Twitter and Facebook, and these videos are very shareable.
Yeah, but this... God, that's depressing, isn't it?
It's true.
These videos are super shareable. I've only heard the phrase super shareable be used in, like, viral marketing. So this is a little bit
Viral marketing is pretty sinister anyway, so.
Yeah, true. Especially when a company decides to come up to you and says, we're going to make a viral video. Anyway, sidetracking. This is what particularly worries me about this shooting and what is particularly horrific about it, because this is the first time I think that we have, and like I said before, this is the first time that we've seen social media play such an important role in terms of how the perpetrator carried out the attack. He deliberately wanted this to be seen by as many people as possible. Mm. He deliberately wanted it to be sensationalist and to shock people and to scare people. And probably actually for him to end up being copied as well. And I deeply worry that this is just going to be the first of many shootings that have like, live tweet this shooting or Periscope this shooting.
There's a huge amount of novelty to this because it was done on live TV and because it was shared via social media, but I suppose there's a possibility that repeat ones of this will not attract the same attention because it now has been done, hasn't it? If that would be the optimistic
a lot of these would have to happen before watching somebody get shot
stops being interesting.
I say stops being interesting. Those are not adjectives that I would usually liberally use in the case of people's murders. But, yeah, it's all a bit shit.
So those are, I think, all of our thoughts on this particular event. I'm sure we'll be talking about gun crime in the US in the future.
Oh, we're so optimistic, aren't we?
I'm sure some of our listeners have thoughts. If you want to comment to us, get on rightdishonorable.com, @rightdishonor on Twitter, and find us on iTunes as well and give us some stars.
Oh yeah, give us some. We stopped asking for stars and they stopped. Can you go and leave 5 stars? That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Thank you. Right, Jimmy, who's Tyler the Creator? Why should I care about him? And why is Theresa May, why does she hate freedom of speech and people using the word faggot?
Well, I think the reason Theresa May hates freedom of speech is because, you know, the Home Office obviously just corrupts people into being fascists.
She does have glorious leopard print stilettos, though, doesn't she?
It's true.
Yeah.
So she obviously doesn't hate freedom of fashion.
Wow. No, I'm just blown away. That's the most amazing line that you've ever... I think we should drop the mic. Quit. That's it.
We have a segment to record.
I think we've reached peak.
We've peak Jimmy.
Yeah, peak Jimmy.
All right. But the reason she's banning Tyler the Creator from the UK for the next 3 to 5 years is because he uses the word faggot quite a lot, or mm-hmm. used to, on
and,
his first
and
two
isn't
albums.
A faggot himself, and therefore many would argue that he's not allowed to do so.
But it's kind of mysterious why they're doing it now. I mean, there's a whole lot of anti-extremism. Whatever the hell that means, legislation sort of coming in at the moment.
Is Tyler the Creator an extremist?
Well, in their kind of reasoning for why they banned him, they released a statement and they said that they also sent a letter to his manager. The letter said that his lyrics incite violence homophobic violence, which is obviously illegal under kind of hate speech laws, which are not really properly enforced in this country anyway. Mm-hmm. So bizarre. But yeah, I mean, this is actually the kind of second high-profile banning of a
rapper.
Not of a rapper, but of a foreigner from here. At the end of last year, a pickup artist called Julian Blanc.
Oh yes. Was banned. Oh, he was a cunt, mate.
I've actually seen him speak.
Bet you have. You're a terrible person.
I'm a terrible person.
You paid dollar to go see him.
I obviously didn't fucking
thank
pay.
God.
basically, with the Julian Blanc thing, there were some videos coming out where he was joking about like grabbing Asian women by the neck, and he said some very questionable things, but he was joking.
I made a video about this. I have seen that video where he jokes about like abusing the power dynamic between a white man and an Asian woman in Japan.
Yes.
And I've seen him do it with women in clubs, where he's gone up to Asian women, grabbed their heads and put their heads on his crotch and goes, Pikachu, Pikachu. He's a racist, misogynistic twat, and I won't have any defence of him spoken on this podcast.
That is just his sense of humour, though. Like, if you see him talk that, or he just
No, but at the expense, he's harassing women. Well, he's like physically harassing women.
He's a pickup artist. That's pretty much his
job.
No,
I won't have it. I won't have it. He's an absolute twat. So Tyler, the Creator, though, he's all right, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he does say, he did say faggot like 213 times on his first album.
Yeah.
Which is quite a lot.
Liberal use of the word, one would suggest.
Yes. But I mean, this shouldn't really upset me. It should more upset you, right?
Technically, for those of you who don't know, I'm a homosexual. I didn't know that Tyler the Creator was a thing until you wrote an article about it.
Right.
So I'm struggling to be overly invested. I also am aware of the language used in rap music. So rap music uses the N-word and uses derogatory terms left, right, and centre.
But it's quite disobliging to women at times.
And also,
to be fair,
occasionally disobliging to the female species. And so, I would rather somebody is able to come here, be an artist, and say the word faggot than them to be banned for kind of having a stage persona. Which is what he has. Because the thing is, I don't believe that he is necessarily a homophobe.
So if he was a homophobe, it would be different then? If his art contained homophobic language, it would be a different thing.
So I would begin to have issues with him if he had partaken in homophobic crime. Or if there was evidence that people were inspired to partake in homophobic crime because of his lyrics. I don't think that there's any evidence that has happened.
There isn't evidence.
There's also the fact that he is regular. Hold on.
Your second test, inspired to participate in homophobic crime because of his lyrics. That is like an immensely vague test.
You could have
a comedy sketch which maybe played with the idea of homophobia or whatever, but in a kind of way that this is fucking retarded.
Mm-hmm.
And
don't use the word retarded.
I'm
going to
use
Jimmy.
The word retarded. Oh. I'm sorry, you know, it was a thing when I was a kid and I still use it.
If we end up on Tumblr, it's your fault.
I think if they go on the website, there is huge danger of us ending up on Tumblr already. But from my point of view, this whole thing about like, this is why I kind of disagree with the hate speech legislation, because so much of it is just so vague. And these albums were recorded years ago, like 7 years ago, I think. It was 2009, Goblin was released, and Bastard, which is the second album, was 2011.
Yeah.
And now he's being picked up on it for some bizarre reason.
It is quite strange. I'm more puzzled by the fact that they've chosen to fight this battle. Because with Julien Blanc, there was huge outrage in the media and there was huge outrage from the public that he was being allowed in the country.
From social
justice warriors. But there was a huge amount of noise. This really came out of the blue for me. I don't feel like people were calling for him to be dragged over the coals because he's used the word faggot overly liberally in a couple of albums.
That shows the degree of like mob rule in the way that these things are handled, because the Home Secretary has discretionary powers which she can use to block people from entering the country, to deny them a visa, which is what has happened in this case and in the Julien Blanc case. Should she have those powers? Shouldn't it be done by a court, or shouldn't there be, why should she have these discretionary powers?
Because a court is going to take ages and she can just say nah. I feel like that's probably, in terms of practicality, the main reason
potentially,
why.
Potentially, but I feel like it will just be used in a way that's really uneven and kind of unfair as well in this way. I prefer that people weren't banned from this country for saying, you know, outrageous things in general. But, you know, if you're going to ban them, I'd prefer it to go through a court system and there to be a level of legal arbitration as opposed to, you know, just...
So this is how I think that Julien Blanc and Tyler the Creator are different, because Julien Blanc, there is video evidence of him committing crimes that would get him arrested in the UK, whereas I don't think that necessarily exists. This is specifically with Tyler the Creator, stuff about his speech and about his art form and the way that he's expressing himself. I will also say, I think that this is really important as well, actually. He's a regular collaborator with Frank Ocean, who came out in 2012 and has featured on tracks of Tyler the Creator. They regularly collaborate together. They're regularly on stage together. And it seems very... Because he obviously isn't somebody who wants this guy that he works with and is probably his friend. Doesn't want him to die.
It is possible to be homophobic and have gay friends, isn't it?
No, it is. But then, so there's just use of the... I don't think what use of the word faggot makes you a homophobe. I think it means that you don't understand the gravitas that that word... and the effect that that word can have when it's used around certain people. Mm. I don't think that it makes you homophobic, because it's also a cultural context thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I feel the same way about most words seen as offensive.
The way your reasoning works, it almost makes it sound, as I think I brought this up earlier, is if, say, that Tyler, the Creator, didn't have gay friends, you'd almost think the case was better against him
So the reason that I mentioned Frank Ocean is because it's just another quiver to the bow. I don't think that I would have a different opinion about it. And the thing is, he's also in the same album where he uses the word faggot. There's a song that where he uses the word faggot three times, but then praises the fact that Frank Ocean is out, or like mentions the fact that Frank Ocean is out. And so it seems so curious and puzzling that our Tessa with her stiletto heels has decided to ram her stilettos into this particular... The metaphor's not working.
The metaphor isn't working.
No. You get what I mean, though.
I do, but I think it's so, like, again, so much of these kind of laws about around speech rely on interpretation. And, you know, there's obviously... Hate speech is banned, but you can go into any Waterstones, maybe not any Waterstones, you can go into some Waterstones and buy a copy of Mein Kampf, which is obviously hate speech.
Can you really?
Yeah. You know, or the Bible, which also has some fairly unsultry passages in it.
I mean, I'm sure that you can go into any... Do HMV still exist?
Yes.
Any record store and purchase a copy of... like Tyler, the Creator's album, right? And countless other albums and songs that contain the word faggot. I'm just perplexed why she chose to fight this battle over any other.
Indeed. The Tories are fascists.
I'm keeping that in.
Okay, yeah.
There's no illusion.
This is actually, as I said, this is part of their anti-extremism agenda, which I also disagree with because...
No, but when you talk about extremists, I don't think American rappers are necessarily at the forefront of people's psyches.
No, but like the extremism, what they usually mean is like Islamic terrorism. That's usually what they mean when they say extremism. And obviously, homophobic violence is pretty extreme as well, even though it's far more common than Islamic terrorism, at least in this country.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it just seems so arbitrary and just so random. And like, we're going to pick you and you, but you're fine, whatever.
Yeah, it seems incredibly fickle. Let us know if you think that... Theresa May was correct in not allowing this rapper to... I'm really annoyed that we agreed with each other on this as well, actually.
What did you expect me to say?
I don't know.
I'm way stronger on free speech than you are.
Yeah, very happy to be. I'm just going to pop down Waterstones and buy a copy of Mein Kampf. Let us know what you think. Do you believe that Tyler, the Creator, should have been allowed in like us, or do you think that overly liberal use of the word faggot should be chastised as such? Find us on the Twitters at Right Dishonour and on the interwebs at rightdishonourable.com. Good.
So Jazza, would you say your position?
Sorry.
So Jazza, would you say your position on the House of Lords has evolved during the last week?
No, I've been incredibly consistent in my views of the House of Lords.
So this is not a flip flop or a U-turn then?
I haven't flip flopped nor U-turned. I feel like your position has evolved.
You're saying I've flip flopped.
You've flip flopped and done a Yui.
So this week.
So my views are.
We need to explain to the people what happened this week.
Okay, so people got put into the House of Lords. Great.
Yes.
And we now have
826.
820. It's the second largest chamber in the world, second only to the People's Assembly of China. For context, China is a nation with over a billion people. There's about 70 million British people.
65.
About 70 million British people.
Stop getting your facts from Wikipedia, man.
I just rounded up, for Christ's sake. And it seems rather unnecessary. The type of people that get appointed to the Lords, isn't always great.
So for years, as implied by the name, the Lords was just filled with actual real Lords who, you know, were descended from noble families who slaughtered more people than other noble families back in the Middle Ages. And now it's
that's
just...
That's how British people do
and
it.
And now just any old riffraff can get in. It's an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
But Tony Blair pushed through some reforms during the New Labour administration.
He did some good things.
That wasn't one of them, I don't think.
Oh.
So the Lords is now, there's about 100 hereditary peers, which are selected from a pool of however many there are. And the rest are just political party appointees who are picked by the Prime Minister, the leader of the opposition, and whoever's leading the Lib Dems at the time, basically.
Yeah.
And UKIP got no appointees this time, despite getting more votes than the Lib Dem party.
Awkward. Why did that not happen?
Because it's all convention. It's all, you know. Well, no, there's no obligation to actually give Nigel Farage a.
Yeah, I know. But I was genuinely shocked. I was genuinely shocked.
But they have one MP, and the Greens have one MP.
Yeah.
So surely.
And the Greens got over 1 million votes. UKIP got 5 million votes.
Yeah. So, I mean, the reason they're appointing more peers, according to David Cameron, is that they want to even up the proportions of, you know, in the Lords, you can be a crossbench, which means you're effectively independent, or you can be affiliated to a political party.
Mm-hmm. Or you can be a Lord Spiritual.
Yes, that's true. And,
they simply represent the Word of God.
Indeed. The greatest wisdom of all, one might say.
I mean, it's literally blasphemy if you don't think it's blasphemy.
So, how many peers would you get rid of the House of Lords if you were Prime Minister for a day, Jazza?
Like, an arbitrary number, but no more than the 650 that we have in the Commons. Although I do also believe that we need fewer members of Parliament in the lower chamber as well.
Indeed.
So, can I debunk a thing that the reasoning that David Cameron has
for this.
So Tony Blair, bless his soul, was a warmonger, but he also didn't have a majority in the House of Lords for 9 years of his prime ministership.
But you know, when your majority is only 11, you gotta bulk out the Lords, man.
No, but it is the most bullshit argument for him to put in another, 60 people,
So actually, the Lords doesn't... it's an editorial chamber, and it can delay legislation, and in theory, I think there's very select pieces of legislation regarding, say, the term length of Parliament, although that's kind of irrelevant now anyway, because we have fixed terms of 5 years. There's very specific pieces of legislation the Lords can still block, I think, or it used to be that way. But effectively, it's an editorial chamber. It advises on bills that go through it, occasionally suggests amendments, and it can delay bills, but it ultimately can't block them.
Yeah.
So it's a very unempowered chamber, really. I mean, it's incredibly
empowered, because he's just given an extra 60 people a very handsome wage. They get 300 quid a day
for turning up.
For turning up, which apparently, according to Lord Saul, who we covered a couple of episodes ago, they use on Blair and prostitutes. And it's this whole debacle has made me so angry, because there is genuine... I think that if you sit somebody down from the British public and you explain what the Lords is and how many there are and how bloated it is and how much it costs us and how bloody useless half of them are and how none of them turn up and they're all bloody sleeping in the bloody chamber. Breath.
It's a very warm chamber, though.
Oh, it makes me so angry that this is part of our democracy that genuinely gets laughed at by other people.
But the defenders of the Lords Chamber would say that it actually has a lot more wisdom than the Commons. Because it's not elected, they don't have to play to, you know, the populist agenda of the, you know, ignorant British public, etc., etc.
Yeah, fine. Have, 500 of them, then. There's no need to have over 800 of them.
So we, as Jazza said, my position has somewhat evolved on this issue.
So what did you used to believe, Jimmy?
This isn't a
tell
this
the people.
This isn't a confession, mate.
This is a confession.
So there, the position that I used to actually hold was that the upper chambers should be turned into a kind of senate, potentially of the regions, maybe to counteract the fact that first past the post is completely balked and doesn't really work very well in the House of Commons. And it would be elected on a potentially on a different schedule to the way the Commons is elected. But what I think is probably a better idea now, because it is an editorial chamber and I don't see a reason to change that balance of power, is it should be filled with experts from various fields, mm-hmm. basically. And those experts should be appointed by a panel that's independent of the government. That's my, I mean, that's essentially
and
your
of
position,
course
right?
that is going to mean that people will be appointed to the I agree with this stance, and that of course means that some people will be appointed who are of a political background, who have come from parties. For example, of the batch that were just appointed in the last week by Mr. Cameron, Lynn Featherston, who championed the same-sex marriage bill and brought same-sex marriage bill to the floor, I think and served her constituents for a couple of decades, was a good choice, and it's a good example of somebody who brings something to the Lords that is valuable, right?
I mean, presumably somebody like, could make that argument for almost any politician, maybe not with quite as impressive a CV, but...
so an impressive CV I think is the key thing here. You know what's really interesting that I completely forgot? You can also apply to be a Lord.
Have you applied yet?
No, I don't think I've got an impressive enough CV yet.
Ah,
maybe. I don't think 18,000 subscribers and
12 episodes of The Right Dishonourable.
12 episodes of The Right Dishonourable. I don't think that quite cuts it yet. Maybe in another 10 years, we'll see.
So how likely do you think it is that we will actually get what we want?
Oh, there's no chance of it happening under this government, is it? Because they've decided to go the opposite fucking direction.
It happens.
And I'm so angry about
but
it.
But actually, like... Even Fleet Street was, even the right wing press on Fleet Street was massively unimpressed with this, particularly because of Douglas Hogg,
yeah,
who infamously, I think I referenced it before,
Lord Moke,
took out expenses for cleaning his moat, £2,000,
and has now been made a Lord. Whoopty fucking do! Excellent, well done, David Cameron. You've just basically given us as much ammunition as you could have for the reason why the Lords needs reform. I mean, what is he doing?
Poor PR.
Why
mate.
Did he do that?
Especially for an ex-PR man.
Yeah, exactly. And also, talking about PR, him bodyboarding in Cornwall, not hot. Him in a wetsuit, that just shouldn't happen.
Does that not do it for you?
David Cameron in a bloody wetsuit, no. What do we have to say about this?
This is bad. TLDR.
So, do you think that this is going to change with another party in power, perhaps Labour under Jeremy Corbyn?
I sort of don't understand why Labour didn't reform it properly when they were in power.
Because it was working for them.
Well, yeah. I mean, the trouble is that any party that gets power, it's a similar thing with the voting system. By definition, any party that is in power has a huge incentive not to reform it because, it, as you say, it has served them.
Yeah.
Potentially if the ideology within Labour changes enough, but then that depends what the electoral chances of Labour led under Jeremy Corbyn is. Probably will happen within the next month.
It's going to be ever so interesting. Isn't it next week they announced?
September 12th. Oh. So it's, you
know, it's two or three weeks.
A week. I don't see it being changed anytime soon, just as I don't really see the federal system being reformed in the UK or anything really.
We're getting the Northern Powerhouse.
That is true.
Which is actually quite a good thing.
Greater Manchester's getting a mayor, and that mayor will have powers more than the Mayor of London has powers, actually.
That's what they're saying, yeah. And George Osborne has basically said, if you want to change things, then just drop me a line. If you want your local local mayor to have more powers, then drop me a line and I'll make it happen. Which is great, which is amazing.
My letter will be in the post.
What are you going to do that for? South London?
South London. The mayor of...
The South London Autonomous Region.
Well, it's different from the north, you know. You know, pretentious and hipster.
Yeah, very true, very true.
Whereas we're grotty and authentic in South London.
What's happening? And so, and what's also very frustrating with the Conservatives especially is that Cameron has appointed more people more quickly than any other Prime Minister since, like, the 50s.
Yeah, so he's appointed more in this batch. He's appointed 26 than Thatcher did in 11 years.
Oh,
Jesus. Quite a lot.
I mean, it's ridiculous. And the fact that we've had this discussion about the fact that the House of Lords is so big and bloated and needs to be cut down... For ages. I feel like we had it all of the last parliament as well.
In these austere times, we need less lords.
Fewer lords.
Fuck you.
Do we have anything more to say than this? Because I feel like it's just this is shit.
We've said the same thing for almost 12 minutes now. So if you've any thoughts that disagree with us, don't send them because we're not going to listen.
No, we probably won't. We're very, like, we've become an echo chamber. We're like Fox News. We should probably do an outro.
If you enjoyed this podcast, podcast, rate us on fucking iTunes.
This has been such a sweary episode, but I've really enjoyed it. It's gone well. Rate us on iTunes, please. Leave us a review because that means that more people get to partake in the conversation. Jimmy really enjoys being told that he's wrong on Twitter and seeing him get all riled up when somebody criticises him for something is the most hilarious thing.
I never do that.
He does it every single time. It's really funny.
You obviously imagine me like typing out stuff on Twitter and just fucking raging.
Yeah, you type on Twitter.
You can't see my face now, but you know, I obviously give off that. Usually it just sort of...
He gurned and did a typing motion.
I'm sort of sitting there, just, you know, chilling, having a coffee.
But you come across like keyboard warrior.
Very, very aggressive.
Yeah. Passive-aggressive tweeting is what Jimmy's very good at. You can follow him at JDE Nichols.
You can follow me. Jazza John at Jazza John.
Yes. Oh, God, how did I get that? Oh, it's because nobody's called Jazza. We've been the Right Dishonourable. We're going to bugger off now. I think I'm going to have a nap again.
Oh, man, Jazza.
Bye.